Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and services. Pastors, who gets the spotlight in your worship services? Is it the praise band? The worship leader? The music director? The organist? The congregation? As pastor, is the spotlight on you? Or does your worship service put the spotlight clearly and deliberately on God? After all, the whole reason we've gathered for worship is to attribute worth to God, right? As pastor, you play a key role whether the spotlight focuses on you or not. Part of the process of creating effective, life-transforming sermons is for pastors to oversee the creation of carefully coordinated worship services. In such a service, every element fits together to relate to and enhance the sermon and the worship theme for that service. Today, we're wrapping up our series of 14 podcasts on the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series: Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. More than 30 years ago, David and Karen Maines recorded a series of very relevant Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts. These broadcasts are serving us well as a resource for our SermonCoach.com podcast. Our focus today is on those things we as listeners can do to make the public reading of Scripture as honoring to God as possible. These key suggestions have great promise in renewing how people in the congregation pay careful attention to the public reading of God's Word.
And Dean, as ministers listen, they need to remind themselves that often when the Scripture is read, they're part of the congregation. So how they are receiving what is being read is reflected sometimes in the congregation, because people see the pastor, the man or woman who plays that role, as a model. So listen very closely. Some of it won't apply quite as much as others, because you're probably going to get to church on time and you've prepared yourself. But there is a good amount of this broadcast that is very helpful. And I'm speaking now as a minister, as it kind of touched my own heart as I listened.
Very good. Let's listen to the broadcast, shall we?
Join David and Karen Maines now for this last important message, Heaven Calling Earthlings.
When I was a little girl, one of the things that aggravated me about my mother was there were times when I was sure she was not listening to me. I would ask my importunate questions over and over, and Mother simply was not there. Now, I vowed that I would never be that way when I became a mother. But the world has turned, and I am a mother, and I find that my children are complaining about the same thing. The littlest child has to resort to, Mother dear, may I have your ear? And my daughter has learned that if she will call, Earth calling Mother, Earth calling Mother, are you there, Mother? Tune in, Mother, tune in. That often gets my attention. Often I am so concentrated in my writing, as my own mother was, that I simply do not hear them.
I need to figure out how to get through to you as well sometimes too, Karen. David and Karen Maines welcoming you, good friend, to another visit in the Chapel of the Air. I never have that problem, Karen. I'm always just totally attentive to whatever the children have
That's
to say.
That's true, David, but you do close your door a great deal.
Well, I think maybe I do. We're talking in this series about God trying to get through to us, and many times us not listening to Him, and we've concentrated on one specific area. This is the 14th broadcast in our series and the final one, and that area is the public reading of Scripture. We've basically been talking about Down with the Dulls, and that is directed toward the people on the platform reading the Scripture in such a way that it's more interesting and captivating to the listener. But we feel that listeners bring something to the service as well, and so when we are in the public services, it's important that people know how to listen well.
I have a feeling that there have been many people who have listened to this series and have thought, well, that doesn't really touch me at all. That's not my responsibility. And at this point, this broadcast, we're going to pin the nail on them, because this is a general application of the truth that we must all grapple with as we sit in the pew on Sunday morning.
Okay, my friend, are you listening? We're not going to give you a long number of points that you have to remember, but we have three of them that we feel are very, very important. For example, number one, Karen.
The first point is the congregation or the lay people of the church must undergo a mental alteration. And by that we mean we must learn to say to ourselves that when scriptures are read, this is important. There is a mindset that must be changed. Most of us come dragging or hurrying into the Sunday morning service. We sit down, it all goes over our head, and our hearts and our minds have not been captured. We have not said to ourselves, this is important, this time is important, the reading of Scripture is important, and that's where the change must begin.
Okay, so there needs to be a switch that is flipped on in people's minds. There's an ad, Karen, that says, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Now, we want to capture people with the same idea. When God speaks through the public reading of His Word, it is wise to listen to what He has to say. So it's almost a reprogramming we're talking about when we say mental alteration is point one, and you may be one who has to hear us say that. Number two.
Well, the number two point is there needs to be minimal preparation. And again, we are not asking for huge life changes. This is minimal preparation. And minimal preparation must go on before the scripture is even read. It means coming into that Sunday morning service, entering the sanctuary early enough to put aside all of the thoughts, all of the ideas, all of the distractions that are vying for our attention. The concept of, am I clothed right? Am I dressed as well as the next woman in the pew? Why is that person talking to that person? What did she mean when she said that to me? What are we going to have for dinner? How am I going to get the children here? And at that point, we need time to become silent, to become quiet, to begin to worship, to begin to prepare ourselves to hear.
Now, minimal preparation, Karen, I think can be reduced in many ways to just getting to church early enough. Most people plan to get to church on time, and then they hit it one way or the other by 3 or 4 minutes. But I think it's much better if people would plan to get to church 15 minutes ahead of time. And then even if they're 5, 6 minutes late, they're still, 8, 9 minutes early. And that's the best thing, because when you get there early, you can say your greetings, but sit down with, again, maybe 5 or 6 minutes to go before the church service starts and go through the bulletin. Become acquainted with the hymns. Read them ahead of time. And usually even the scriptures are listed in the bulletin, and you can read them yourself in preparation to hearing them read by someone in the front of the service.
One of the minimal preparations that I've had to enforce on myself was to sit as near the front as possible, because I discovered that when I sat in the back, I watched the people. And instead of beginning to prepare my heart to silence myself, to get into the attitude of being a participant or a receiver in that service, so I move as close to the front as I can possibly get.
Okay, we have a third one. Let me just go back. A mental alteration, which means the reading of God's Word is important. I do well to listen. I have to change if I'm not in that mindset. Two, minimal preparation, getting to the service early enough so you're ready when the Scripture is read. And now number three.
This is exerted concentration. That means we can't just be passive when the scripture is being read, but there must be an activity that is going on interiorly. It's almost as though we apply those Bible study methods that we use privately to our situation when we are listening to the public scripture. There's an inner dialogue that goes on. We say, what is he saying, that reader? Or what is the scripture saying? Or what does that mean? Or did I hear that? Am I hearing it? What is the scripture about?
So you're really working on it in your mind. I find, Karen, when the scripture is read in public, I do well to close my eyes. Oftentimes you can concentrate best if you really give yourself to something by closing your eyes, and that's a real help to me. So I concentrate by closing my eyes and saying, I want to hear all of this, and then I mull over the things even in my mind as you've been talking about. Now, we've said 3 points. Mental alteration, minimal preparation, exerted concentration, and I have a feeling maybe as people are listening to us already, they're starting to say, ho-hum, I've heard those kind of things before, what else is new?
Well, this is not a ho-hum situation. And simply, I think we can test whether these points are appropriate by asking you, the listener, what your situation was this last Sunday as the scripture was read.
I would say, Karen, that most people needed to make a mental alteration, that it's very important when God's Word is read. In fact, when I say most people, I'm thinking probably in the high 90 percentile. This is a huge problem.
Number two, I doubt whether many people came and did the minimal preparation we're talking about prior to the Sunday morning service.
Were you exerting concentration this last Sunday as Scripture was being read, or was your mind wandering into paths all of its own?
Okay, well, we need to pay attention to, as opposed to saying, tickle my ears if you can, and if it's really fascinating and titillating, I'll listen to the Scripture as it's read. We've been using this passage out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, where Paul says to Timothy, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. But I think it's fair to say that listeners, as well as readers, need to give heed to the public reading of Scripture, so that it's not just the person on the platform, it's the person in the pew as well. Now, Karen, there's another passage that's very well known on Scripture. We haven't used it this whole series, but it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. A lot of times verses like this become truisms to people. They hear it, they agree, but they have little meaning. Let me read the verse, because we feel strongly about sections like this. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Another version of the same scripture says, for whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts, exposing us for what we really are. I like the way the NIV version puts that last phrase. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, I think, David, that if this dynamic is going to occur in our Sunday morning services, there must be a dual kind of listening that we discipline ourselves to. It must be an attention to the Scripture as it is being read, but there also must be attention to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, who is beginning to do that dividing and sorting and sifting and piercing of the heart within us.
Very much so, Karen. In fact, it's just like you were saying at the beginning of the program, God is trying to get through to us. It's not just the human element that is there, but there is the divine as well. What is it that Melissa says to you?
Well, Melissa says, earth calling mother. And I think in this case, it's more a matter of heaven calling earthling.
Okay, I think that's really well said. Heaven calling earthling. I'm trying to get through to you. Now, Karen, a lot of times I've learned if you try to stretch lessons over lifetimes, people can't maintain what you've said that long. So in my mind, it's important that we get people started. When we talk about the right mental attitude, when we talk about preparing for Sunday morning, when we talk about concentrating when the Word is read, the Sunday we are targeting is this Sunday. So as you go to church this Sunday, I want you to have at least the mindset that says the reading of the Word, whether done well or done poorly, it's still going to be God speaking.
Well, David, this is the end of the series that we have been in for the last 3 weeks. We've been concentrating on improving the public reading of the Scripture, and you and I have sort of mapped out a private campaign which we have entitled Down with the Dulls.
And part of the problem with the dulls is what is presented from the platform or from the pulpit. And we have spent 13 of 14 broadcasts addressing the front part of the service. And now we are spending this last program talking to you who sit in the pews, and we're saying you have a part in it as well. The most exciting reading of Scripture in all the world will not touch you, my friend, if you come with the wrong attitude. And the converse of that is that the most dull reading of Scripture, even though it is terribly recited, you can still hear God speak through it if you work at it. So the listener is a big part. Listeners as well as readers need to give heed to the public reading of God's Word.
Our thanks to you, David and Karen, for the very practical suggestions you two have shared with our potential Bible readers. You've now opened a lot of doors that should lead to even more creativity on the part of our listeners. And to you, our listener, thanks for tracking with us. We pray that this series will literally turn your world upside down and make Bible reading one of the most exciting and meaningful experiences in your walk with the Lord.
Well, David, we certainly turned the spotlight around this time and focused on those who listen to the public reading of Scripture.
Yeah, I think that was a good reminder, because that's a huge role. If you come and your mind is filled with other things, you can just block out the scripture, and you don't hear, just the way you can block out sermons. Ministers don't want people to block out their sermon, and I think ministers need to come to the place where they don't want people to block out the reading of scripture. They will almost all agree with me. But then the question is, how do we put legs to that desire so that we're accomplishing what we have in mind? I think it's been a good series. I'm listening to myself in a sense, but I'm finding that it's new and refreshing to me, and some good reminders in there for me as well.
It's very interesting to me that even though these were recorded over 30 years ago, they're just as relevant today as they were 30 years ago.
Trust so.
Yes, indeed. We're so glad you joined us for our podcast today. You found our podcast on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We hope you also notice the resources we have there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and services. And we invite you to come back for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.